why some of you, I'm speaking this to you because you need it. I heard you. That's why some of you who have lost loved ones can know that you're still in contact with them. What? By a Ouija board or by a witch? God forbid, by the same Holy Spirit that was in them. If they were filled with the Holy Spirit of God, you still got that same Holy Spirit in you. So you're still in communication with them. You're still in fellowship with them. And they are part of that great cloud of witnesses that are standing there saying, go, go, go. It's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. Oh, hallelujah. No one is lost. If they had the Holy Ghost and you have the Holy Ghost, say, you're talking crazy. No, I'm talking spiritual things. And if you ask the Lord to let you understand by way of the Spirit, you'll understand. Verse 17. Well, 16. I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth. Listen to what the Lord said to me about this scripture. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. Now listen here. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. Now something that I had never grasped before. He was talking to a Jewish audience. Listen closely. Put your hands on your ears. The Holy Spirit had not been with anybody but the Jews. The Holy Spirit was with the Jews. He said, the world, how do I know? He said, the world does not know Him. He's talking about all the Gentiles separated from God. I'm going to give you another scripture in a moment that'll show you. He said, the world has never known the Holy Spirit. But that's impossible. He said, but you know Him. Think about going through the desert, the fire by night, the cloud by day. Think about the things that would happen. They knew the Holy Spirit. They were with Him, but He wasn't in them. He is speaking to Jews when He says, you know Him. He's with you, but He'll be in you. I'm making that point not to say that He's not within us now, because we're going to get that to in a moment. But I want to show you how dark the world was. That other than the Jewish people, they had no way of being with the Holy Spirit. He wasn't in the Jews, but He was with the Jews. He wasn't in the Jews, but He was with the Jews. He was walking along, keeping His remnant together, through whom the seed of God would come. They knew Him. He said, the world didn't know Me, but you knew Me, and I've been with you, but I'm going to be in you. How have we missed that? And like I said, the main point is there is to understand the gravity of our state. Only the Jews before Christ. Only the Jews before Christ could know God. And not in the way we know Him now. But now, He is in those that have received Him, and He is in us. Oh, let me read on here, and then I'm going to read you a scripture to help explain that. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. A little while longer and the world will see Me no more, but you will see Me. Because I live, you will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in Me, and I in you. He who has My commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves Me, and he who loves Me will be loved by My Father, and I will love him and manifest Myself to him. And let me skip over, read the rest of this. Verse 26, but the Helper. Please read the rest of that. I hate to skip over that. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, in My authority, He will teach you all things, and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. All things. So you say, well, that's great for the Jews. Now, they can receive. Let's look at Ephesians 2. Totally makes this meaning of this scripture illuminated as well. You know why the Holy Spirit's a good interpreter of the Bible? You've heard me say it before. Because He wrote it. Don't you love to hear somebody saying what a writer meant when the writer says, that's not what I meant? I would take umbrage at that, and I know the Lord does. And that's why I'm constantly asking, Lord, correct me. And you will see that there are times I've come to you and said, wait a minute, I had that a little off. Let me correct. Because I don't have any pride concerning that, because I want to give to you straight as God has spoken to me. Ephesians 2, let's begin at 11. Therefore, remember, now this is a letter from Paul to the Ephesians who were not Jews. They were Gentiles. Who were Gentiles? Anybody that wasn't a Jew. Therefore, remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, in other words, you weren't circumcised, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands. In other words, you were called uncircumcised by the Jews who were circumcised. We're a bunch of women here, not a big issue to us, but it was with the menfolk. That at that time you were without Christ. At that time you were without Christ. At that time you were without Christ. But the Jews, that must mean that the Jews were with Christ. Oh my. Christ was with them all along. That's why I could say he came to his own. It isn't just, thank you, Holy Spirit. It isn't just that he was born a Jew. It's that he had been with the Jews all that time. So, of course, when he was born, he would be born through a little Jewish maid. Because Jesus came and said, I have come to the lost of the house of Israel. He came to the Jews, who he had always been with. But now he was going to be in. But when his sacrifice happened, something happened. Verse 12. That at that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. So obviously the Jews did have hope. And they did have God in the world. But not, their hope was Christ. Don't let me lose you. Now, verse 13. You could go home and say, wow, she was off today. But read verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, you, who once were far off, have been made near by the blood of Christ. So, Christ, who had followed the Jews, why do you think that the world, the Lord gave me a lesson one time, it's just about a paragraph long that I'm going to find somewhere, but the world hates the Jews. Why? Because that was God's remnant. That's what stood as a witness. Even though they killed their prophets, Christ still walked along with them until he walked right through the door of the Jews, which was that little Jewish maiden. He walked from eternity into the world. He had been walking along beside, and now he takes a sidestep and steps through that little Jewish maiden. And he came to his own. And his own received him, not but to as many as received him. Let's read on. But now in Christ Jesus, you once were far off, have been made near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace. Now he's not just talking about peace with God, he's talking about between the Jews and the Gentiles. How do I know that? Who has made both one. He's made the Jews and the Gentiles one. And has broken down the middle wall of division between us. Now he's not just talking about the wall between God and man, but it's the wall between the Jew and the Gentile. Because the wall that we have assumed that was between God and the Jews was not the same as the wall between the Jews and the Gentiles. because the Jews still had Christ walking along with them. In the desert, he was the cloud by day and the fire by night. In the fiery furnace, he was the fourth man in the fire. You getting the point? Christ was with the Jews, but he was not in them. He had not yet become the Word made flesh. He had not become the sacrifice, but he was walking along to make sure that this is preserved until the time where he steps through into time, where he would make a sacrifice for all. I'm talking about what the anointing means today. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of division between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, or the enemy, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances. In other words, the Jews had the laws. The Gentiles didn't. And please understand me. In other places, talking about the law takes on a different meaning, but here it's talking about the Jews had the law. God was talking to them, but he wasn't talking to the Gentiles. How do I know that? Because he says, so as to create in himself one new man. Takes the Jews, takes the Gentiles, makes them into one. Now that are called children of God. We call ourselves Christians. That he might reconcile them both, Jews and Gentiles, to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. He came saying, my peace I give to you, both to the Jew and to the Gentile. For through him, through Christ, we both, Jew and Gentile, have access by one Spirit, one Holy Spirit. You can't get along with folk. If they've got the Holy Spirit, that's an awful shame. Because you're one through the Holy Spirit of Christ. And if we got a fuss and fight that say we have the Holy Spirit, then we need to let him challenge us in areas and go into those areas so that we can act like grown up, mature folk. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners. He's talking to the Gentiles here, but fellow citizens with the saints. Who are the saints here? The Jewish people and members of the household of God. Woo! You're just going to have to chew on that, because I'm going to tell you something. It will illuminate so what the anointing is in our lives, connected back to God, who wasn't even with us, much less in us. But now we pick up right where the Jews were and have the same promise and the same blessings. But God has not forgotten the Jew. I now communicate with you in the inner man by way of the Spirit, which was impossible before the restoration of all things through the Christ of God. John 16. If you need to stir, stir, because I am going to deliver this to you. It's not going to take a long time, but I'm going to give it to you, because when you go out of here, you're going to know what the anointing means, and you're going to walk in it, and you're never going to be the same. No, never be the same again. Jesus said in John 16:12, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them or understand them or grasp them now. He's talking to the Jews here. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority. I heard a major minister air about this week. I'm not going to call the name. I'm not going to even tell you what he said. It wasn't anybody here, obviously, but they better go back and read this. It says he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. The Holy Spirit is a spirit of Christ. I won't even tell you what he said. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. That's what the anointing is. The Spirit of God now coming in us, so that we can know what he knows. We can do what he did. Oh, I'm going to get to a point here in a second again that's going to just change the way you think. 1 Corinthians 2. See, I don't need aerobics. I tell myself that every day. The spiritual workout. The scripture I read earlier, now within that context. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual can know all things. Now you see the importance of the anointing so that you can know what God has done. And in the, the more I know about God, the more I know, the less I feel like I know. But one thing I'm beginning to see is that it's all working together. As you know God, His power is coming into you at the same time. Oh, if I can get to that in just a moment. The anointing references my essence. The Holy Spirit flowing inside of you. You try and fail because you try without the essential connection to your source being in operation. And when I put this up on the web, I'm going to put a part out of the message I didn't get to give on endurance that talks about us trying to do in our own strength and how God wants us to depend on His strength. You are so distracted that you cannot hear the still small voice that is my Spirit in you. Now, this is a crude example. How many in here can wiggle your ears? I can. I used to not be able to. Why can't you wiggle your ears? How many can't? You know the reason? And I want to add something that you'll know I don't have to. There's some exercises women are supposed to do to stay healthy in parts of their body, and some can't because they can't find the muscle in their brain. It's the same thing with your ears. You can't move your ears because you can't find the connection to that muscle. So when we're distracted by the world, we can't find that place where God speaks. You say, why is it God speaking to me? He is. Everything is already in His Holy Spirit. Everything is already in His Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit working with you, your spirit, will help you access what you need when you need it. It isn't, well, now God is saying this. He's already said it all. It's all in Him. He's not like us. He is. But you gotta find that place. And you can't find that place if you're distracted with everything else. Why do you think the devil loves to use distraction? Because it works. There are folk, I don't advocate what they're doing one way or the other, but they can control their heart rate. How did they do that? They found that place in their brain. Well, we're talking about a physical phenomenon. But in the spirit, you gotta find that place. I used to, and some of you have heard me say this, but it's been a while. I used to hear my father talk about when, you know, he would feel a particular move on him by the Spirit. He said, I felt the Spirit, and he would do his hand like this, right here. And I would think, what does he mean by that? Many years ago, we were driving somewhere. I don't even remember the circumstance, but I remember when I felt that feeling. Now, I've had the Holy Spirit long time, but we were in a situation where it looked like the car was going to stop. I don't remember exactly what it was. And I said, God, help us. And I put my hand on the dash. And when I did, I went, oh. I felt what he meant. You got to find that place where the Holy Spirit speaks to you. As you learn to attune, and you know what attune means? The Lord, when He was giving me this lesson, used that word. So I looked up I know what it means to a certain extent. To adjust or accustom something, to be receptive or responsive to something else. To adjust or accustom something, to be receptive to something else. Or accustomed to something else. That's why you can't really expect a baby Christian to be able to hear to the extent that the older Christian should be able to. And I'm not talking about years here. I'm talking about work that you've done in the Spirit. Ooh, because we got a lot of old folks still wearing diapers. As you learn to attune to the Spirit, you will be empowered to walk in total obedience. You know what the difference is there? Now He'll be moving in you. You have a problem with sin, you need the Holy Ghost. Because it won't be you anymore, it'll be the Holy Ghost moving in you. And you'll find yourself, and I mentioned this to some people lately, more than one. Have you ever found yourself having an attitude that it surprised you in a good way? And you thought, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus! Because there are times that I do find myself with attitudes that surprise me in a not so good way. Now, let me try to get to this quickly. My voice empowers you to do what I am has offered. Now, evidently, I asked this question because when the Lord answered it, I realized my spirit had asked it. So don't lose me here. Once we're through, I'll let you go. But don't lose this. Don't lose this. I worked hard to dig this up for you. Evidently, I ask, well, about the scripture, the work that I do in greater works, will you do because I go to the Father? So evidently I asked that because when He answered it, I knew I had. What is the greater work? Now, in John 14, 12, write that down. Jesus said, these works that I do in greater. Let me see if I want to read this other right quick. You write that down because you're familiar with that. Don't miss this greater work. All right, I want to read this now then to explain to you. Now, and I've used it and I've preached it before too, where I say, where is the greater works that we're doing? And referencing, you know, why aren't we raising more dead? Why aren't we seeing more healed? And all that is true. Because the scripture does say, these signs will follow those who believe in my name. And you read all that, and if that's not happening, we need more of the Holy Ghost. But the greater work He was referencing here was something that we've missed. Now, if you look at Matthew 11, 11, going back to John the Baptist, Jesus is speaking of him after He's just found out that he was killed. Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. Now, I'm going to stop right there before I go on. Now, how was John of all? I want you to think through the Old Testament. I don't need to take your time to tell you all the fathers of faith. Abraham and Moses, all those that did the great things. He says, but all, this is Jesus speaking. And it's not a nebulous thing where, well, did he really mean this? No, he says, among all. There wasn't one greater than John the Baptist. Why? Because he came with the message of light. That light was going to come into the darkness. There is no greater message than what John the Baptist had. It wasn't talking about John the Baptist as a man, but the message that came in him that says, prepare the way of the Lord. His message was greater than any message has ever been. You want to be great? Don't worry about being great. Get a great message in you. But that's why he was greater, because he spoke of the light. And then he says something confusing. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. What is the greater work that we can do that Christ did not do? It's the work that was only available after he was sacrificed. Salvation of the soul. And release of the Holy Spirit back into those who walked in darkness. Jesus did not preach that because the sacrifice had not yet been made. So the greater work that we have is telling people the light has come into the world. You can be restored to the Father, redeemed from the curse, and not only that, now He's in you. Nobody in the Bible Not even Jesus said that he is now in you. He said, I'm with you, but I will be in you. The greater work is the Holy Spirit in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And you see now why the devil fights move of the Spirit, what we call move of the Spirit, where we're actually listening. Because that is the greater work. That is the greater work. It's God in you. There's been no greater message. So when I asked that, he certainly answered it. Good news of the gospel was that this was only available after the sacrifice was made and the communication was reestablished, the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read this quickly until I get to this other part, and then we're going to be done. The good news is that you can now truly walk in obedience because it's coming from the inside now. You're not being forced. You're not looking for signs. It's coming from the inside of you because the Holy Spirit in you is leading you in the paths everlasting. Now listen to this. Boldly approaching the throne of grace, that's in Hebrews 4:16, is done through your spirit as you access my spirit now dwelling in your being. You ain't going nowhere. Excuse the language. You ain't going nowhere to try to find the Holy Spirit. The throne is in you through the Holy Spirit that is in you, through the authority of God that is in you. So when you need help, you go inside and you go, oh, Holy Spirit of God. Say, is it wrong to pray out? No, I do that all the time because God's everywhere. And I've only accessed a small part. But I'm telling you, you've got to understand the power is in here through Christ. Now, you compare that to 1 John 3:2. He says, hearing my voice with clarity will lead to total submission and unity with the all in all. 1 John 3:2, we don't know, verse 1 begins, beloved, now are we the sons of God? We don't know what we will be, but we know this. I'm skipping some sentences in there. It says, when we will be like him because we'll see him as he is. We will be like him because we will see him as he is. How is the glorification going to take place? How is the transformation going to take place? When Christ is fully revealed to us, it ain't no process at that point. Boom, we're like him. Because the Spirit in him connects with the Spirit in us and the process is completed. Ooh. Hearing my voice with clarity will lead to total submission and unity with all in all. That's what I was telling you a moment ago. Listening, being able to truly hear his voice is transforming. It is. Just it being in you is transforming. He'll speak to you while you sleep. He'll speak to you while you're awake. He'll speak to you while you walk. He'll speak to you while you lay. He'll always be speaking to you if you stay open. But let him challenge you, y'all. Let him challenge the areas that are not submitted. Let him come into you freely so that we can do the great work of the last days. Ooh, let me see what I can just... Oh, man. Let me get to this one thing. We're nearly through here. All right, this was another question that he answered to me, and then when I answered it, I realized I'd ask it. So the question was, why do I sometimes feel the Spirit and other times I do not? And he says, when the circulation is inhibited to a particular part of your body, you feel it when the circulation is restored. Listen to me. Some of you may have been sitting so long that your back end is numb, and when you stand up, it's going to be tingling. You'll say, oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. I've been delivered. Listen, that is so simple. It had to be the Holy Spirit. He says the reason sometimes you go into a service and you'll feel, ooh, it's because now something's flowing where it wasn't. Something's flowing where it wasn't. But then he says this. That makes sense too. I guess it should, right? Once it is flowing normally, you do not feel that tingling sensation anymore. But you do have normal operation of that part of your body, which is restored. So you're not going to always feel those tingles. You're walking with power. Now there'll be time you'll feel it again because God's going into another part of your life that you've led him. And here's another thing that he said that to me is severing apart that's not written there. You know how when the woman touched Jesus, he knew that virtue had going out of his body. You'll also feel when there is a movement between you and somebody else. So I lay my hand on you, and a lot of times, you don't know it, but I feel electricity. I don't know if you feel it or not, but I feel it going through you. Why? Because it's a change from one to the other. It's moving. It's changing. Oh, it's such a wonderful thing that we have neglected. Now, because you still live in the body of corruption, your receptivity wanes and waxes according to the focus of your thinking. And that's where it comes in. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5, 24 through 25. If the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, came in you and restored you to God, how should you be walking every day? That's what the anointing is. God in me every day, every moment. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Expresses the command to keep flowing that which has brought us life. Now listen to this. If the circulation to a particular part is constrained long enough, it will die. He's talking about Christians. Although the rest of the body may still be able to operate, that part is now of no use. Offending the Spirit, write down these scriptures, Ephesians 4, 30, and then 1 Thessalonians 5, 19, Ephesians 6, 16, Hebrews 12, 29. I'll put these on the web, but write them down now if you don't do the computer thing. I want to point out that 1 Thessalonians 5, 19 says, neither quench the Spirit. And it was a direct reference. If you look, Ephesians 6, 16 and Hebrews 12, 29 confirm this use of quench in the Bible is referencing putting out the fire. Neither quench the Spirit. Well, that feels like if I want to run that I should run. Well, that's probably the truth if you feel like you ought to, if it's decent in order. But it's not referencing that here. It's talking about the fire that comes in your life and burns out everything that's not of God. I said it's talking about the fire of God that comes in your life and burns out everything that is not of God. It says don't quench that fire. Don't put water on that fire. Let it burn. Let it burn. Let it burn. Because God is a consuming fire. And what does he, as he's consuming you, he's making you a part of himself. If things, I'm hearing this in the Spirit, I want to get it right. If things are burning and they're going up together, now it's all one, isn't it? But at the same time, those things that are not part of him are gone. And you are one with him because you didn't quench the fire. Oh, let the fire burn. Offending the Spirit is the action of refusing to give place to my voice, so that now your ability to receive is dead. I desire to tell you many things. Closing here. I desire to tell you many things, but you cannot bear them because my Spirit does not have unfettered access to your mind. The carnal mind cannot hear my voice. Carnal, unchanged. You are a dual fuel being. On the one hand, you can run on the Spirit. This is living in the anointing. On the other hand, you can run on the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, which are deafness, blindness, and dumbness in terms of the things of the Spirit. Write down Romans 7, 24 and 1 John 2, 15 through 17. And then he gave me this question that I'm giving to you. What do you want? The price of the anointing is your life. If you will surrender total access to me, I will give total access to you. 1 John 2, 20 and 27. Write that down. Bottom line, we were lost. Think of the theology involved in the one line of Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. You're not only restored to God, you can see as he sees. That's the anointing. The anointing references your connection now with God. It takes the place of what was in the garden where man walked with God and was one with him. When we see him as he is so that we become like him, it won't be referenced, the anointing, anymore. But right now we have to walk in that place where he is moving in us, because he is not in the world. He works in us. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Father, I thank you that your word is true. Now, Lord, you would not have given me a word that was impossible to do. Now, I know it's impossible in my flesh, but I know through your spirit all things are possible. Lord, to everyone that has heard this word, I put a blessing on the word by way of the Holy Spirit, that it will not be stolen, that it will grow, that it will produce fruit, and it will change their lives. And in doing so, we will change our world around us. It is in Jesus' name and authority and under his blood we pray, knowing the devourer has been rebuked and exiled, so that only your word is manifest in and through us. And everybody said, amen and amen and amen and amen and amen and amen and amen. And amen.